God does nothing without a purpose. And when God made you, God has made no one that He did not make for a purpose.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
This week, Pastor Brian Grant continues his series through the book of Acts, taking his message from Acts chapter 16 as he explores the question, is there a cost to following Jesus? And how it is that that question is directly related to God's plan and purpose for every individual Christian. So if you have your Bibles, please turn once again to Acts chapter 16 and listen as Pastor Grant brings a message from God's Word entitled, Is There a Cost to Follow Jesus? And now, here's Pastor Grant.
One of America's most beautiful parks is the Bridger-Teton National Forest in Wyoming. It's the third largest national park on the United States mainland, with an immense wilderness area covering 1.2 million acres. Tens of thousands visit the wilderness area each year. And I was fascinated as I read the comment cards led by some of these individuals who went to visit the wilderness. One person wrote, "There are too many bugs and spiders out here. Please spray the wilderness to get rid of them." Another wrote, "The coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Please eradicate those annoying animals." These are true stories, folks. Another wrote, "There are too many rocks in the mountain." Who are these people? These people obviously had no idea what it means to visit the wilderness. And sadly, many churchgoers, and I dare say many Christians, have the wrong idea about what it means to follow Jesus. They want to follow Jesus on their terms. They'll follow Him as long as He doesn't demand too much. And this morning, as we have come into God's house, I don't know what your story is, but I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody here today that's you. You are one of those who will follow Jesus as long as He does not demand too much. I want to speak to you today and answer a very important question. Is there a cost to follow Jesus? I believe the cost of following Jesus is tied up with God's purpose and His mission for us. And so as I answer the question, is there a cost to follow Jesus? I want to share with you five facts about the mission God has for each of us. Number one, God has a mission for every Christian. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 16 verse 9, Paul had a vision, and we saw that last week. Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia begging him to come over and help. Paul realized that it was God who was actually leading him, and so immediately Paul responded to the call. Paul realized this was part of God's mission for him. And so in today's text, we find Paul in Europe. Paul has finally come to Europe. He's now in Macedonia, which is just north of Greece, and he has arrived in the city of Philippi. Accompanying Paul are Silas, Timothy, and Luke. You'll notice that in Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles, the verses suddenly start speaking about what we did, as Luke identifies himself as being part of this traveling group. Paul was pursuing his mission. Are you pursuing your mission? You know, many young people today feel that life has no purpose. You know, listened on Tuesday night, and last night I was watching what happened there in Paris with the incredible tragedy. And what a sad thing to recognize that one of the individuals who perpetrated this incredible crime was a young man between 15 and 17 years of age. A young man who saw no purpose in life and decided to dedicate himself to ISIS. And we're finding all over the world young people who are trying to find purpose in life. And so some are taking their lives. Just this past Tuesday, we prayed for a friend of the church whose 17-year-old son killed himself. Friday night, I got a text from another member of the church whose 11-year-old niece tried killing herself. 11 years old. There are a lot of young people, an older one, who somehow they don't feel life has any purpose. But I'm here today to tell you, listen to me, younger person, older person, God has a purpose for your life. God does nothing without a purpose. And when God made you, God has made no one that He did not make for a purpose. And so today it is my prayer that as you stay in the house of God and listen to the word of God, you may come to a decision to discover and to pursue God's purpose and mission for your life. God has a purpose for you. God has a mission for you. You know, some of you think, oh, I got purpose. But what a sad thing if you find a purpose and it's God's purpose. One of the brothers in the church was telling me about a person we all know, and he likes to sit in his car. You'll pass him by, and he's sitting in his car. He has his devotions in his car. He just sits out there in his car. But, you know, what a tragedy it would be if you bought a very nice car, and the only thing you ever did was sit in the car. Well, the car would have a purpose. Correct? I mean, if you're using it to sit in, it does have a purpose. But what a shame if that's the only purpose your car has. You see, the manufacturer made that car so that its real purpose is only achieved when you kick on the engine. Some of you think you're achieving your purpose. You're living for purpose. But I want you to know you have not realized your purpose, the purpose for which God has made you, until the Spirit of God kicks on the engine. Until the Spirit of God comes alive in your life, you will not discover your real purpose, the reason why God made you. And I tell you, what a shame that if you would die and never find the reason why God made you. But listen, as we move along, God has a mission for every Christian. We must ask God to help us see, to envision His mission. We need to envision God's mission for us. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. The Spirit of God can reveal God's plan for you. You may be busy pursuing your dream, but have you asked God, what is His dream for you? Have you ever asked God to give you His vision for your life? As we yield to God, He will actually order our steps. He'll help us decide which opportunities are beneficial and which opportunities are distractions. You see, the problem is sometimes when you're not seeking to pursue God's mission, you're pursuing your own dream. You're not sure what opportunity is the right opportunity. You're not sure which door you should really go through. I remember after I finished college, you would call the dean in America, the department head, called me into his office. And he said, Brian, I have good news for you. You have been awarded a fellowship to the University of Western Ontario to do an MBA. And he says, all expenses are paid. You'll get spending money. This is such a wonderful opportunity. I'll be honest with you, I was excited. Can you imagine? I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to have all the stuff taken care of. I was 20 years old at the time. I would come back at 22 years old, I'd have an MBA, I'd be really on a fast track. But after a while, the Spirit of God made me not feel this was such a great opportunity. You see, when I was 17 years old, I told you before, I got saved when I was 9, And for most of my teen years, I wasn't very serious about being a Christian. At 17, I became serious about being a Christian. We went to camp and came back, and somehow God started to make it real to me that being a Christian was really something very, very special. And the young person, I want to say to you, being a Christian is something very, very special. But you really won't realize how special it is until you make a full commitment. And so at 17 years old, I made a full commitment, and I wrote in my Bible the words of Jesus that I was seeking to make my own. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. And by the grace of God, I was now seeking to live a life that would please God. And so here I am. I'm in this environment. Last week I preached a message entitled, How to Hear the Voice of God. How do you hear the voice of God? And as I wrestled with this incredible opportunity, God made it clear this was going to be a distraction. This was not going to be in line with God's mission for me. Now you might say, are you crazy? Yes, this was not going to be in line with His mission for me. And I want to challenge some of you. Not every open door was opened by the Lord. You hear what I'm telling you? And how do you know? The Spirit of God has to reveal it. And He will only reveal it when you are determined, when you have come to the place in your life where you're saying, God, I want to go your way. We must get God's vision for us. But second, God may not map out the details in advance. God did not give Paul the details of his mission. All Paul got was a man from Macedonia. He had a vision of a man from Macedonia telling him to come over and help. You know, when he sent out Abraham, the Bible says Abraham left, but he didn't know where he was going. God has an uncanny way of asking you to go on a mission, and He does not give you all the details.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You see, He likes to lead you step by step. But He'll lead you. He'll never leave you in the lurch. He will lead you. So Cheryl and I, it was no time to get married. And I suspect part of why I was left in Jamaica, by the way, rather than in the University of Western Ontario, was this young lady sitting here on the front bench. God has an unusual way of working. So here I was in Jamaica. I developed a relationship with this charming young lady. And so we were now getting married, by which time God had blessed us immensely. I was now principal officer of an American insurance company in Jamaica. Man, I was on top of the world, 22 years old. Time to leave. Time to decide. And God said to us something that everybody else said was crazy. God said to us, leave and go to the United States. You say, why? Do you know the primary reason was this church? This church was brand new. It was about 1 year old. Remember last week I shared with you, I had become a preacher because I had a car. You got to listen to the message to understand that story. And so here I am, and it's almost as if God is saying, I can use you more with this little church in the United States than here in Jamaica with all of our assemblies that are doing so well. So here we came to the United States of America, and the company that had treated me so well in the Jamaica decided I was looked the wrong way to fit into this culture. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So I tell you, God had to lead us step by step. I won't tell you more about that story. But it to say, we came here and we did not know for sure how it would work out, but we felt for sure God was leading us. He does not always give you the details in advance. And I'm saying to you, young person, just because He hasn't planned it all out, it doesn't mean He doesn't have a purpose and a mission. He has a purpose. He has a mission. But He has a tendency to reveal it to you step by step by step. Will you trust Him? This morning, God is calling on you, young person, an older one. He's calling on you to trust Him so He can show you purpose. And His mission. I believe many people in our church have not achieved the mission and the purpose for which God has put you here. It's good to be a Christian, but it's to be on mission for God. Our mission includes persecution. I hope you didn't leave me just there. Turn your Bible to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14. And we're going to make some references to chapter 14 today because I purposely jumped over it before as we have gone through. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14. And I want you to look with me at verse 21 and 22. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. I want you to notice where he returned to, because I have to pick this up later. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And I want to show you later on what happened before this at Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. But he returned, strengthened the disciples, and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. And here's what he says. We must go through what? Many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. The Christian life must include hardship. That's what the Apostle Paul says. We must go through persecution. Listen, young person, don't leave me yet. Because listen, I'm going to eventually tell you the rewards of all of this. Because listen, this comes with incredible rewards. Persecution goes along with a godly life. How many of you would like a godly life? Don't need to show hands. But how many of you would like to live a godly life? I believe most of us would. But look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And here's what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 tells us. It says, in fact, everyone. Do you see that? Does that include you? It says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, what's the word? Will. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Wow. It's not a matter of if. You see, the church in America wants to get away from all the problems and the persecution. But my Bible says it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and how much. You know, the word persecution is derived from a Greek word which means to pursue. It's about pursuing. It implies pursuing someone because of their goodness or God's blessings on them. And Paul and Silas, in the passage that was read for us in chapter 16, they were persecuted for doing good. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, if you look at your Bible with me, Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, verse number 16, it says here, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way of salvation. She kept this up for many days until Paul became so troubled. He turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of her. Paul speaks to the spirit and he says, get out of her. Paul was persecuted because, and Silas were persecuted because they had rescued a girl from exploitation and demonic possession. But people were upset because they'd messed with their money. The girl could no longer make money for them. To them, she was now worthless. And we live in a society, sadly, where many young people, particularly girls, are exploited and held in slavery. All for the almighty dollar. I'm thanking God for Kelly and some of the others in our church who are spending time working in a ministry which is trying to help some of these young people who have been made into sex slaves. It is estimated that up to 300,000 of our kids in the U.S. are being forced into sex industry every single year. 300,000 each year. And here, Paul involves himself in freeing this girl who has been exploited and been held as a slave, and people were bent out. It's as if the society didn't care. And I want to tell you, sometimes it's as if our society does not care. It's as if some lives don't matter. Perhaps you're one of the victims. Perhaps I'm speaking today to someone who has been abused or who has been exploited. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone today, I don't know it, sir, madam, young lady. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone who was sexually abused. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone who was made to get into all sorts of sinful practices. And you may not feel like you're worth anything, but I want you to know that you're worth a lot to God. I want you to know, listen, God loves you and He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary for you. And I want you to know, my friend, it doesn't matter what they have done to you. God still has a purpose for your life. God has a mission for you. And if this morning you will submit to Him, He will transform your life. And today He stands with His arms of compassion wide open, willing to receive you and to change you. But don't be shocked when God uses someone. God uses you to free someone from bondage. Don't be shocked if folks get upset. They got upset. They persecuted Paul and Silas for doing good. Don't be upset if they get mad at you because you do good. You see, some people don't want to hear about Jesus. You know, just the fact that you know Jesus gets some people upset. I hope you realize that. Now, in our society in the United States, it's okay to talk about God, but you better not talk about Jesus. The name of Jesus brings conviction to people. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sin. Somehow the name of Jesus makes people aware that their life ain't so right. And so somehow, if you talk about Jesus and start living for Jesus, once you start living for Jesus, more people will be offended, because my Bible tells me that somehow this makes them feel so convicted. John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 20 says, everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. This makes folks mad.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Brian Grant extending a special invitation for you to join us at our Good Friday worship and communion service, March 25th at 12:30 p.m., as well as to our Easter Sunday worship service, March 27th at 10:45 a.m., when I'll be bringing a special message entitled, The Hope of Easter. What a great time to celebrate what God has done for us. I look forward to the opportunity of meeting you personally on that occasion. Remember, we're conveniently located in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia, less than a 15-minute drive from Fort Washington, Manayunk, or Willow Grove. For details, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And now, until next week, same time, may God bless you richly.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.